Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 333. All the threes, 333. I'm joined by Ari Slater.
Hello, James. It's nice to see you.
And I'm joined for what is going to be the final time.
Hello, James and Harry. It is nice to see both of you.
So, we're not going to do any small talk right now. We're going to get into it in a little bit. We're going to explain the lead up in just a second. But first thing, screw it, updates right now. Right now! Ski Safari 2 has just come out onto Android. It's been out on iOS for a little while already, but it did finally make the crossover onto the Google Play Store yesterday, the day before. So it's just a continuation from the previous Ski Safari game. Downhill sledding, you ride on the back of skis or snowboards, and then as soon as you crash into something, you adopt it as a rider. So that could be anything from a mammoth to a yeti to a couple of penguins. Anything you like. It's a free-to-download game. It is perhaps slightly less impressive in the wake of something like Alto's Adventure and the other really good skiing games, downhill games that came out recently. So it was big news at the time, the first one, and I think this one's going to maybe struggle a little bit because of the competition being a bit stronger now. But whatever, you can go and get it at the moment. I think you reviewed it, didn't you, Harry, and went,
I went, what you just said.
Yeah, did he? Good.
I said, it's good, but it's basically Ski Safari and Alto's Adventure is better to play that instead. But is Alto's Adventure out on Android or any games out on Android? Is this the first game to come out on Android?
And with that, it'll get all the downloads in the world, though it probably doesn't deserve it. So Ski Safari 2 out on Android right now. Also, 80 Days has been updated. Now, this is genuinely exciting, because 80 Days is a great game. We mentioned it many times on the podcast. You know if you've listened. Adventure book, Inkle, Round the World in 80 Days. Really, really well written. Really, really good. It's just come out on PC, on Steam. And alongside that, the iOS version and Android version have been updated. So you get new visuals, graphics and whatnot, but importantly, it's content stuff. So 20 new cities, over 100,000 new words.
What?
New words, like, they've invented these words.
I like to think so. Inkle do tend to shoot for the stars when they go with this stuff, so... No, I reckon they're just standard words rejumbled into new sentences.
Right.
That cover two entirely new plot lines. You'll be able to explore the Americas, travel to the moon, and play poker with a billionaire.
Whoa.
I mean, I don't think I'd want to play poker with a billionaire, because they've got nothing to lose, have they? They'd just be like, yeah, I'll bet you a million. And I'd be like, well, I don't have a million, do I? You
fold.
Stupid billion. Fold! This isn't fun. And then I'd punch him and steal his stuff.
So you would want to get in the room with him at least. There's
yeah,
a
but
benefit
not.
To-
like, I wouldn't bother with the pretense.
No.
I'd just break in.
You just take on the challenge and then just deck him.
Yeah.
Works for me. You also can accompany an international jewel thief on a journey to uncover the artificer's greatest secret. That's a plotline thing as well. So this update is free. If you have already got the game on either iOS or Android, you can bloody get the update right now. And
that's,
if you've
that's two games for Android.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh wow,
they're
that's
catching
two.
Up.
All right, let's start writing them down. I can't be bothered.
I'm going to need to make a spreadsheet just to keep.
To be honest, even if there are only two games on Android, you still won't be able to find them on the Play Store because it's so awful.
Oh snap. So yeah, 80 Days, update that content if you haven't already. It's a very, very replayable game, and now you've got even more reason to do even more new stuff. This week on the news, Real Talk.
No, it's too soon, I can't do it.
Peter Wellington.
All right, hello.
You've been on a Pocket Gamer and App Spy for a while now, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been doing this for about nearly 4 years now, the podcast.
That's a fair amount of time. In that time... Harry's just spotted the image. In that time, you have made a number of videos for the AppSpy YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Playing computer games. You've written some words on Pocket Gamer about computer games.
Yes.
And video games.
You started a Twitch stream with me and Harry and got some views on it.
One or two.
Done that.
Mostly from your mum. And that dog you've got.
Mostly from your 5 million mums.
Yeah, but still, you got them. Having accomplished all of that, you have decided it is time to move on to pastures new, haven't you?
Yeah.
You're slinging your bloody hook.
Yeah.
Where are you going, Peter Wellington?
I am going to go and make video games with...
Never heard of them.
What the hell are video games, mate?
Hold on. Make video games with Auroch Digital. A-U-R-O-C-H Digital. They've made Chainsaw Warrior. They've made Chainsaw Warrior 2. They helped make Plague Inc. They did Endgame Syria. They did Narco Guerra. They're doing other things. So, you know.
Right. And you're heading off to do that tomorrow, aren't you? It's your last day at Pocket Gaming at Spy tomorrow.
Yeah. Friday's my last day. And then Monday, the 5th of October, I start at Auroch as the games producer, which means that I am a boss of a game base. Well, of all of the games, effectively. So I have to whip people into shape and go, make a game, you over there, make the game, graphics, level 4, make them better, sound, all that sort of stuff. It's good.
And they'll go, how do you do that, Peter? And you go, I've got no idea, I don't do coding, just do it, just, you moron.
Just do it, I don't need to be talented, I just need to shout at you and do things. Yeah, it's going to be really good. I'm really genuinely looking forward to it.
Now, obviously, myself and Harry are delighted.
Yep.
By which we mean incredibly angry and disgusted with you, frankly.
You're a vile creature.
Yeah,
you are the worst of the worst.
This is going to be
all the villains in all the, I was going to say books that you've read, but all the games that you've played have nothing on you. You filthy scumbag.
Well, I mean, all of these things are true.
This is the positive atmosphere that led to your decision to leave the site. No, but actually, and of course, we are delighted for you. Simultaneously, a bit sad to see him go, because he's been doing this for ages, and now there's going to be a big Peter-shaped hole, which we're going to have to fill with someone. Mm. We do have someone with which we will fill the hole. We're going to reveal it next week, and I say it, the indeterminate... pronoun to say it. So it could be a rock, could be a bit of cheese. We don't know.
No.
I think you'll like it. It will be good. You'll
it's
be fine.
It's not Glenn, so don't worry.
No. Just take a load off. but in the meantime, you are here and we have you for at least the remainder of this podcast. Mm-hmm. So I think it's time to ask you a few questions regarding what you have learned over the past 4 years. A short quiz about Peter Wellington, thank you very much. Yeah. Peter! Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter?
Street Fighter, without a doubt. Without a doubt, of course it's Street
Fighter.
You're
the last, and you're leaving, and I can't deal with it.
Incidentally, that is, whenever we get a new staff member on board, or a new intern comes in, or anything like that, that is the first question we ask them when they get into the Skype room. Or
they're
room
almost
or
because it's always
because
wrong.
Because it indicates the calibre of person that you are. Some might say, the soul calibre.
Oh! Which is also the wrong answer. But a better answer than Mortal Kombat.
A better answer than Mortal Kombat.
So, Street Fighter, I will take that. I accept it. Okay. Does Mario, from the game Super Mario Brothers, does he punch blocks or does he headbutt blocks?
He punches them because his arm moves up every single time. I know lots of people say, oh, it's him jumping, but it is always him and hitting his fist against the bricks. Always. Every single time. It has to be. And proponents of the other, oh, he hits his head on them. Ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous.
That is correct.
That is correct. Yep.
There's even a video proving this with Miyamoto.
Yeah, you can see like his like knuckles.
Yep. Addressing the question. You've all been schooled there. Important. Yep. Good answer. Correct answer. Mm-hmm. Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man?
# Gamergate.
Miss Pac-Man, because it's a better game. It's constructed in a more elaborate, the maps are better, the visuals are better, the Miss Pac-Man on Atari 2600 was much better, and it doesn't break after 256 levels.
Is that true? Have you got that far?
Have I got that far with Miss Pac-Man?
To the 567th base.
No, I haven't got that far, but it doesn't break, so or at least I think it doesn't break. But it's fantastic, and it's not made by Namco either, it's made by Midway, and obviously pour one out for Midway.
Over the course of your tenure, how many points have you scored?
I was waiting for like a Andrew? That's the best question. How many points have I scored? I don't know. Not all of them. Not all of them. And
Well, no, that would be preposterous.
Well, I guess...
You must have a rough aggregate of the amount of points you have scored.
I don't know, like... I mean, it's got to be at least a billion, hasn't it? It's got to be. I've got to have hit at least a billion points. Yeah. Without
all
a
right,
doubt.
All right. Conservative estimate, I would say. But all right, fine. Tilt or virtual buttons?
Tilt, because it's my middle name.
Is it?
Yeah, Tilt is my... I've kept this a secret because I didn't want to be bullied mercilessly. But my full name is Peter John Tilt Willington. That's absolutely real. And I've kept it quiet my entire games journalism career. And now I'm telling you on the final episode that I'll be on of the Pocket Game podcast.
I can see why you kept it quiet.
The joke I always say is that I was conceived on a pinball table. which is both a terrible like slur against my parents, and also a pretty clever joke about pinball. So,
that does require you to lie about one of your middle names, but good enough.
Yeah.
Best game to play on a train.
It's Peggle.
Best game to play on the toilet.
It's Peggle.
Best game to play after knocking one out.
It's Peggle.
And
the reason is that you want to... All of those activities are essentially Peggle-related. You know, if you're going to play something...
Do explain.
Well, if you're going to play something quickly, then obviously you're going to want to, you know, do a quick round of Peggle. If you're going to want to play something on the train, you know, like, you're going to want something that you can keep your eye out on the window to see whether or not you're going past Barnstable. If you're playing something on the toilet, then you don't want to be there for the entire time, because otherwise you get that thing where you sit on the loo for too long and both of your legs go dead, and then you have to wander out, and then your girlfriend says, "Why are you walking funny?" And you're like, "I can't explain."
That's a nice way to get out of it. Usually it's you stand up, realise your legs are dead, fall face first into the cubicle wall, wake up there later that night with someone trying to take your shoes, unbutton your shoes and take them off you from underneath the stile.
It's a familiar story.
Oh, it's an old classic. All right, then. Favourite character in games?
Favourite character in games, I would say, would be Raiden. Because,
Now you have to qualify. From Mortal Kombat or from Metal Gear Solid 2?
Oh, from Metal Gear Solid 2.
Because
he was a really good character, and he was basically the Solid Snake of MGS2. Like, he was the what? I can't believe this. I'm constantly questioning everything that's being said, and I'm a moany old bastard. Which is basically what Solid Snake was doing throughout all of MGS1, but he got loads and loads of poop for it, just being not Solid Snake. And then actually turned out to be pretty good, and he was on some pretty good stages, like within MGS2. And then in MGS4 he turns out to be a complete and utter badass. He is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant character. Absolutely fantastic. And one of the most powerful characters in the MGS canon, which I love, by the way. I love Metal Gear. And so, he's amazing.
Flying in the face of public opinion there, Raiden. Probably the most despised character in all of MGS.
I'm going to be honest, I'm glad you're leaving.
Yeah.
3DS or Vita?
Vita.
Pocket Gamer or App Spy?
Pocket Gamer. not now, huh? Now, Pocket Gamer, because...
Yes.
Because it would have been AppSpy until we sort of moved AppSpy more into Pocket Gamer, right? Like, because the AppSpy crew is where it's at. The AppSpy community is where it's at. But then AppSpy got moved into Pocket Gamer. And now, basically, how could you not choose something that how could you not choose Pocket Gamer over something that essentially sort of doesn't really exist anymore?
No, it's true. This basically is Pocket Gamer. So
yeah,
the
it's
video
Pocket Gamer
thing.
Now.
That's the whole point.
The AppSpy community.
We are one.
The Pocket Gamer label, yeah.
We are one in glorious harmony. Bob or Bob?
Oh, you bastard. Bob. Yeah,
ooh.
I know.
Ooh.
I know. Controversial. James or Harry?
Oh, that's like... it's Harry. I'm sorry.
Yes!
Oh, what's that? What's that, Pia? Oh, you're breaking up. Oh, no, I can't get you back. What a shame. Anyway, Harry. You're still here and you're brilliant. Let's do a podcast. Look at Harry doing pirouettes and dancing in the background. I was tempted to say, or Glenn then, but I thought that would just be cruel.
Glenn's in the chat. Red alert! Glenn's in the chat!
That's the thing, you can't add Glenn into that because, like, then it's no contest.
He means you'd win, Glenn. That's what he means.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. All right. Harry? Yep. Do you have anything you'd like to grill him on while he's here?
Warhammer or 40k?
Ooh. 40k, come on, mate.
God.
Come on, mate. They've just retired Fantasy Battle and going into this Age of Sigmar stuff. Come on, yeah, 40k is where it's at.
Who cares about that? Anyway, Windows Phone or Android?
Android, every day, because there's games on it.
Woof, woof. Beans or eggs with your breakfast?
Ooh. Oh, you stumped him here.
Yeah, I figured it would. It's like Kampf test now.
Oh, no. I literally don't think I can... I don't want to be pressed on that. I don't want to be pressed on that.
All right, okay. No, that's fair. Like, you don't want that haunting you for the rest of your career.
No, I've got a career in proper games and stuff to be thinking about, and I don't want eggs or beans to be hanging over me.
Coventry or Birmingham?
Coventry, because of that weekend we spent there, Harry.
Which is actually a
real thing, and it was the best because Coventry, the people there, lovely. The place, complete dive, the worst. But the people were absolutely lovely. And then Harry and I were wandering around. I think it was Insomnia, like a consumer event. Like loads of fun people there and stuff like that. And wandering around, and Harry. Played me a Street Fighter and I lost, and then we wandered around and then we went to an all-you-can-eat Chinese restaurant.
And then there was a man that was going to punch a woman.
And then we came home and it was the best event I've ever been to.
Oh my god. Alright then, two final questions before I let you go, alright? Firstly, what would you label as your favourite game that's come out in the last 3 to 4 years since you've been here on iOS or Android, your favourite mobile game from your tenure here at Pocket Gamer and AppSpike?
I think my favourite mobile game was simply, for a whole bevy of different reasons, I think it's got to be like Prune. Just simply because it's the only 10 out of 10 I ever gave to a mobile game. It has this element of inclusivity to it. Like, it's not one of these like super hardcore intense games like first person shooters or racing games or whatever it is. Like, anybody can enjoy it. It's got a deeper message and a deeper meaning to it. It's beautiful, it runs amazingly, it is incredibly shareable, it's incredibly inclusive. It just does everything that I want mobile games to do. I want mobile games to be about getting people together and thinking about and challenging people's conceptions of what can be done within games. And I think Prune is it's just a quintessential example of that. Prune is amazing. There are loads of other games that I really, really enjoyed and perhaps even played more, but I think Prune nails it when it comes to trying to advance what mobile games can be. I was thinking about this today, right? Like mobile games in 2008, the App Store comes out, right? And iOS and iPhone 3G.
Okay.
And that's 2008. And before that, like, literally the most extravagant, exciting mobile game that had come out before 2008 was, I don't know, like, maybe FIFA 2001 from Engage? On the Engage? Like,
I'm trying to think of the good Java games now.
Yeah, like, I can't think of any. And
Beyond Snake and, you know, like classics and Minesweepers and that sort of thing.
I just can't think of any games that came out like before 2008 on mobile that are particularly interesting. And then after that, you know, within 7 years of just a platform, you end up with these things like these incredibly moving games, incredibly well-constructed, beautiful, all-encompassing games like Prune. And that is amazing. And that is what I think games should be doing. I think they should be getting more people interested in what games are.
Okay, noble. Ooh. Noble there.
Noble, a noble choice.
Photo finish there for Prune, only just came out, but impressive
Lucky.
Rating.
Lucky. I know they tried to get it out before I left, so.
Good stuff, alright then. And your final question, before we let you fly the coop
Okay. Oh, I mean, are we doing another pod? I mean, are we actually continuing a podcast after this?
A little bit, yeah. Well, maybe. Okay. I don't know.
A little bit, but I have to go quite soon because I have to go be on the radio. So can we, like, I know it's sad that Peter's leaving and everything, but can we turn this around?
Can we get a move on, please? All right, yeah. And finally, Peter, your final question. Think carefully before you answer this. Small talk or real talk?
Oh, real talk.
Of course it is. Well done, Peter Williamson. You've done a splendid job. You'll be sorely missed by everybody, and I'm sure everybody in the chat room will agree. A huge gaping hole, which will now be filled by somebody. But again, we'll tell you more next week. But in the meantime, thank you, Peter Wellington, for being Peter Wellington.
That's okay, everyone. Thank you. I like this.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there was actually any news.
But I don't think there was.
I don't think there is. That's just... No.
Oh, yeah, no. We'll do one thing. We'll do one thing and laugh at it slightly because it is of vague interest. So Google announced the Pixel C.
What? What's that?
I don't really know.
Is that where all the Pixel fish swim?
Right, so Pixel C is essentially... it's kind of a Chromebook, which doubles as a tablet, but you can detach it like a tablet, and it doesn't run the Chromebook OS thing. It runs actual Android, like an Android tablet do. And Glenn's excited about it.
Okay. Glenn gets very excited about a lot of things, though. I saw him get very excited about cricket once. He saw a cricket in the bush. And he went... Yeah, I mean, he should be, though, right? Because it's like an extravagant-looking tablet that can do a shed load of really cool things.
Yeah, but it's I'd powerful. Rather get an iPad Pro because it would be better.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically an iPad Pro, right?
Essentially, yes. Yeah. So it's a massive screen, 10.2-inch screen, which is like a bit bigger than the iPad screen there. Very high resolution, 2560 by 1800, which is 308 pixels per inch, if you care about all that PPI stuff. Mm-hmm. A massively powerful NVIDIA X1 processor, which is like impressive, as in it supports 4K video impressive. 3 gig of RAM, USB-C support, blah-de-blah. It's cheap for what it is, so it's going to be $500. So it's,
really? You
know, yeah, it's $500 for
wow,
it.
Wow, that's...
But you have to pay an extra $150 if you want the keyboard as well. So that's just a standalone tablet thing, but it bolts together with a real actual keyboard. But you're right, as you mentioned, it is very similar, and it's been announced just after Apple's announced its iPad Pro. So it is kind of an answer to that.
It's more of an answer to the Surface, really, because, I mean, let's be honest, the iPad Pro basically knocked off the Surface, so...
Yeah, they're all along a theme.
I mean, really, all tablets have just been knocking off pen and paper. So
yeah,
what was wrong with pen and paper?
Pen and paper has been cribbing off chalk on a wall in a cave for too long.
It makes you sick. These clones, doesn't it?
This is interesting. All of these devices are really interesting from a alternative to a Cintiq. Perspective.
To the Droid tablets that you might use if you're an artist or designer.
Yeah, like, all of them are really interesting, although you get the feeling that, obviously, Apple will probably win out on that stuff because piracy on Android versus £300 worth of drawing software, don't know whether or not that's actually going to take off, particularly on Android, but with Apple, it might, you know, it's going to be slightly harder to do that stuff.
I'm also thinking that there's still that problem with getting people to buy Android tablets that aren't Kindles, you know? Like, I don't see a great deal of people wandering around ever with the Samsung Galaxy Tabs, for example. Or,
one of them once, and they're a total turd.
They were kind
just
of awful.
Awful.
I saw a flurry of the Nexuses when the Nexus 7 first appeared. Mm. I knew a bunch of people who got them, and I thought they were quite good, actually. Yeah. They got well shonky after about 8 months.
Yeah, mine's bricked.
Exactly, but... Yeah. At the beginning, they were a really good price point, good form factor. You didn't have the iPad Mini then. It hadn't come out yet. And so people were like, actually, that's a very neat little tablet, and I like the look of it. It was something a bit different. But in terms of trying to rival Apple and all of their iPad-esque ones, so the larger Galaxy tablets or the Nexus 9 and all that sort of stuff, I don't think they've really ever got the market penetration they were looking for with it.
No, but I suppose that's because the people in the market for a tablet are either top end or low end, right? They're either going to buy an iPad because that's this fancy pants consumer electronics device that everyone wants, or they buy a Huddle or a Kindle or
the really low end. Yeah. No, I agree, because the Kindle ones, like, because of the brand recognition of Amazon and the fact that you can will soon be able to get them for literally £50, £49.99 for that entry-level Kindle, which I think is a very, very smart idea.
I really want one.
On Amazon's part. It's the old Kindle 6 model or whatever it is, so it's not going to be impressive in terms of spec, but, like, sub 50 quid, that's cheaper than a book Kindle.
Yeah,
that you get from them. Like, there was a £59.99 here. That's 10 quid cheaper than that.
You don't have to read stupid books on it.
Yeah, and you can watch your Netflix and do all that kind of stuff. It's not going to be impressive in terms of performance, but it will work. And it's the kind of thing that I would think that, like, well, now then that's the thing that schools should get involved with, where they start, you know, buying them en masse for kids to put in classrooms, because it's that dirt cheap. The same way that they release those Raspberry Pi, you know, mini USB computers that you could use, and then you just send them out to places where, like, poverty is an issue, and so you can actually have everybody get hold of a computer that's affordable. This would kind of fit into that bracket.
My mate Greg is currently studying. Greg is brilliant. He's been like a security guard for ages, and he works nights and stuff. And because he's not around human beings all that much, he has a lot of spare time and a lot of free time, because obviously working nights. And he's got a Raspberry Pi because he's been doing like a computing course. And he's been tinkering around with it and telling me all about it and saying, you know, it's really interesting and you can learn all sorts of different things on it. And you know, you can actually have proper electronics, you know, a feeling of actually how computers work together. Because at the moment I'm looking at my computer and it's like, you know, it's just a big black box. I've no idea what's going on inside of it.
Yeah.
You know, he's actually managed to get this idea of how things work. But he's also managed to create a surveillance system out of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was like, people asked...
Did he tell you this, or did you discover it when you looked up at your bookshelf corner of your shower?
This is it. You know, Raspberry Pi asked whether they could do it, not whether or not they should give Greg the opportunity to create a mass surveillance network. But yeah, no, all of this, I agree with you. Like, at 50 quid at that low-end level stuff, that's really, really fascinating from a sort of mass adoption rate. And these large scale ones, you do kind of think, well, if you didn't sell a lot of premium tablets to begin with, are you going to be able to sell an extra premium tablet? Like,
because the Chromebooks make some sense to me, because I don't really use them, and they wouldn't be useful for me in terms of the programs I need to run, your Photoshops and things like that. But for being small and cheap, I understand them. For like a small, portable, solid state, like Chrome OS, buy it for 100, 150 quid, wicked. When it comes up to like 500, 650 quid, I'm not spending money on this. You could just get an iPad.
Yeah.
iPad 2.
Yep.
Air 2. And that would be probably better. But some people are excited. Glenn's very excited about this. He's a bit of an Android fanboy. So if you like your Android, then you may well be stoked for this sort of thing. Do we have a release date? That's the question. It was only just announced. Apparently it's out in time for Christmas, according to the data. We'll find out exactly what the UK prices are a little bit later, because at the moment it's just the dollar signs. Out and about this week, it's Peter Willington. He's out. He's off. He's away. So,
bye, jerk face.
Yeah, see you later. I'm going to make way more money.
That's what happens when you jump out of journalism, boys and girls, into what you would call proper jobs, inverted commas. You might get paid proper wages, which is something that we sort of accept when you jump into this. You don't do it for the money, you do it for the love.
You do it for the love. And it's well worth doing, and if you want to get into games in some way, it's worth thinking about journalism as an interesting way into the industry, definitely.
Right,
and when you want to make more money than Scrooge McDuck, you go and make proper games.
Proper games like Shooty Skies.
Oh, yeah. I might be talking about this now.
Yeah, I think we all probably will, actually. Shooty Skies, it's the new Crossy Road people. As in, by the people, what done Crossy Road? Most of them, anyway. It's out right now. It's free. We'll have a bit of a chat about it in a bit. But, yeah, exciting. What else have we got? Oh, hello. It is something. No, not this one. This one. Need for Speed No Limits.
I might be talking about that later, James.
Well, we're running out of games, aren't we? All right, that's it.
Only two games came out this week, so.
Oh, no.
We'll level with you. It wasn't the best week this week in terms of new releases. There is other stuff. Other stuff like, let's have a look at the big old list here. Twin Shooter. Now, that is slightly interesting.
That is quite good, yeah. A review just went up on pocketgamer.co.uk. I wrote it. Oh. So
tell us about twin shooters hyphen invaders.
Hyphen invaders, yes. I thought it was colon invaders. Anyway, it's like an archive. I'm a vice escort. I can't like this now. Excuse me.
Try again. Deep breath.
There we go. So, yeah, I've got to go bloody sing on the radio soon as well. Anyway, this is a video game about shooting spaceships, and rather than just having one spaceship, which is the standard number of spaceships in a video game, a ratio created by Dr. Spaceship.
Yes.
This was, you have two in this one. You can either play it single player on your own, or two player with a friend if you have a friend. And there's one spaceship on the left of the screen and one spaceship on the right of the screen. And, like, the bad spaceships appear in the middle of the screen. And you have to slide up and down the left and right-hand side shooting them. You shoot automatically, and you can also accidentally shoot your own friend on the other side, and that's so bad.
Friendly fire is on, yeah.
Friendly fire is always on. But it's quite clever. It got a 7 out of 10, which is the best number most games could ever hope for. and yeah,
are you paying attention to this, Peter?
Yeah, Peter. P.S. Sure. Peter 6 out of 10 at the moment, Willington. but like, as a single player game, it's quite fun. But when you get a friend around, it's like one of those sort of old tabletop arcade games where it was flat and you could put your drink down. So yeah, it's worth checking out. I think it's free as well, and you can unlock different ships with currency and stuff. So. Yeah, give it a go, cool. Guys, or girls, or
I didn't know it was free. That's interesting. All right. So Twin Shooter hyphen Invaders is the name. You can download it right now. There is a video of it up on Pocket Gamer at this very moment. Let's have a look at this one. It's called Humory. So apparently...
It's called what?
Seriously, it's called Humory. H-U-E-M-O-R-Y.
I was a bit worried you having a stroke.
It's been a stressful day. Mm. It's a colour memory game. So dots appear on the screen. You have to pick a colour, whatever colour it might be, and then memorise every one of those dots that appears when in that colour. Then they will all disappear. The colours will vanish. And then you have to remember each shape and each colour and where it is and tap, 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 tap. It's quite similar in a way to games that I end up playing with my nieces when they come down. They're obsessed with this. The kind of snappish... You know where you turn all cards face down, you're allowed to pick up two cards and try and match them? Yeah, they love that game quite a lot. Pairs. So it's kind of, sorry?
Pairs.
Pairs, yeah, I guess. Pairs, why not?
Or Simon. Simon's a bit like this, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So you have to just remember it, and then when it's all gone on, tap, 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 make sure you try and get it right. Do it quickly enough. You get more time, and you get, like, bonuses for it, and you wind up on a scoreboard, and you get bigger boards and shapes as a result. It's free to download at the moment, and it's only iOS, I think. Here's one called The Balloons. It's an endless floater, which sounds like a particularly difficult toilet problem.
You'd really get dead legs at that point, wouldn't you?
So the way this one works, from what I can understand, it's like an endlessly scrolling screen. So you're scrolling upwards, and you are taking control of a balloon, which you put your finger on the screen, and you guide it in a one-to-one sort of way around the maze that is the screen, trying to presumably avoid being hit by stuff from the looks of it. Quite colourful and whatnot. It's from Noodle Cake. Noodle Cake are sort of... They've done some good stuff in the past. They've published quite a lot.
They do. They just publish stuff. Loads of stuff.
Hmm. Of varying degrees of quality, but they've done some cool things in the past. I quite like at least the levels look quite sort of variable, you know, lots of colour going on the screen. It's an old-fashioned, I'd say 16-bit look.
Yeah, roughly. They take a lot of risks, does Noodle Cake. And some of them don't pay off, and some of them do, which is, and it's nice. That's my quality input there, journalist of 7 or 8 years there.
Does not
You're
care
one foot
anymore.
Out the door.
It's just like, this is a game that exists, whatever.
No,
it's not,
I do
it's
care.
Not any of the games I, Peter Willington, will be making.
So yeah, that's out right now, The Balloons, for free to download. You've got No More Kings, which is a apparently a puzzle game based on the rules of chess. Now, I'm not 100%, I haven't played this one yet, so... The way that this works, let's try to explain it. Each level's played on a standard chessboard, right? Your goal is to capture the king in as few moves as possible. So, you know, it's chessy. You can only move the highlighted piece once you've captured another piece every move. Once captured, you become the piece you capture.
Hmm.
So rather than just like knocking, if you take a knight with a pawn, instead of knocking the knight off the table and sitting your pawn in its place, you become the knight, which means therefore you have to use the rules of play for a knight, moving in the L shape and all that sort of thing. There's only one solution to each level, so it's counted as a level rather than playing against a computer. But once you've cracked it, you can aim for 3 stars by trying to do it again, but quicker. And then there's a series of levels, and you work your way through them like that. So it's taking the rules of chess and then messing them about a bit and turning it into a level-based game. It is available to download. There's 100 levels at the moment. It's only on the App Store, I think, so nothing for Google Play at the moment. But if you want to try it, No More Kings is the name.
Guys, why did Kasparov get chucked out of the library?
Does this mean I have to know who... Oh, Kasparov was he's a chess man, isn't he? He's a chess master.
Yeah.
Why did Kasparov get chucked out of the library?
Because he was found watching porn.
Ah, that's a spelling joke. Flick Quarterback by Full Fat. It's another one of these games where I think all you do is you flick the ball and he throws the ball and you try and get a goal from throwing the ball.
No, it's a touchdown, mate.
Yeah, sure, touchdown, full touchdown. It's a small thing, it's free, it's available right now if you want to try it. What else we've got? Cubes is by Ketchup. I don't like Ketchup, so I'm not going to cover it, because bias. what else have we got? Talk Burnout. This is probably the last one before we talk about the interesting games of the week. Talk Burnout, over-the-top driving game, which apparently, according to the blurb, combines the very best parts of every racing game.
Every racing game.
At once. Simultaneously.
What a load of utter garbage. Shut your goddamn mouth.
Carmageddon. I bet it doesn't do any of that.
I bet it doesn't do any of those things.
Skid marks.
Big Red Racing.
It's only got a useless graphical representation of the game. It's not even got actual gameplay.
Oh, look, the car's going around in circles. Shut your face, Talk Burnout. Go get a real job.
Not interested. So, apologies. It's a bit of a light week this week. However, we're about to talk about the games that matter on the Throne of Games.
Come sit upon my throne of games.
All right, then, folks. Shooty Skies. Oh. So, this, we did know a little bit about it beforehand, but it appeared yesterday?
Yes, it came out on Wednesday.
Yeah, on Wednesday, yes. It is, just to set it up, from the developers of Crossy Road. It's not done by Hipster Whale, which is the name of the company that is responsible for Crossy Road. They have teamed up with or made a little sub-company, basically, from with these two dudes called Matt Ditton and Benjamin Britton.
Not that Benjamin Britton, though.
No, not that one.
Yeah, Ben used to work at Tin Man Games, I think. They're Australian.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Well,
I might have made that up. Peter would know, because he knows everyone in the industry now, what with him being a slag.
Yep, it's true.
So they formed the newly created Mighty Games, and they have released this. It is called Shooty Skies. It is, for all intents and purposes, what... I suppose this game is to Gallagher what Crossy Road was to Frogger.
Yes.
So... Frogger, that little Helene Hoppy thing, they took it, they kind of remixed it, they put a cool graphical spin on it, and we all know Crossy Road is basically Frogger updated for touchscreens with a free-to-play mechanic. This is basically a shmup.
It is precisely a shmup. It doesn't have the pattern recognition of a proper bullet hell shooter because it's all randomly generated, but it does get bullet helly. I think we can all agree on that.
Later on, yes. It does get a little bit tough. Now, we've all played this, I know. And I think we all like it. I really quite like it.
I really like it, yeah. I believe it got a 9 out of 10.
I did see you'd given it the sweet ratings. And I don't know, like, they're doing quite well, this lot, because they've had essentially 3 games out. We've had Crossy Road, we've had Pac-Man 256, and we've had this, Shooty Skies. And they've been working with other people, and 256 wasn't done exclusively by them either, I don't think. But they're all based in the same style. They've all taken old game ideas and then put a little bit of a spin on them and remixed them for iOS. And they've all done it really well. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just, like, it's difficult to dislike them in any way. Because you could, there's a tendency when something becomes a huge global sensation, like a Flappy Bird or something like that, to go, oh, yeah, it's not really that good, and it's all just a bit bollocks, and just be a bit little dismissive about it. And it's a free-to-play stupid game, and you just hop across the road. Eh. But they're really smart in the way that they do it, like right down to simple little mechanics.
I think it's because they've realised that, and it's not the same with all free-to-play mechanics, but a lot of free-to-play mechanics, especially endless action games, are very much derivative of the how it used to be in 80s and early 90s arcades. It is the chuck in a quarter and keep going. But in the case of mobile games, it's watch an ad and keep going. And because of that, they've noticed that these old-school game types that worked in the arcades work here, work again in mobile, and work today. And there is a sense of nostalgia, I think, to their games, in so much as their game's design appeals to young people because they're just great games, and those games are classics, and good games are good games, and they've been, you know, visually upgraded to look really, really great and have modern sensibilities. But they also appeal to more on the older end of your what we think of as, you know, the gaming people, like your people who are 40, 50 years old, you know, the people who might have actually gone into the arcades and played these games that inspired them. And yeah, and they understand how those games work and how modernizing them can make them appealing again. I think I'm so excited now for, you know, we've seen three games in a row that are just top class, essentially arcade ports. And I can't wait to see what their fourth thing's going to be.
No, and they've gone with different genres. Gone, an RPG thing. Well, why not?
Yeah,
they could do it. I mean, there's a really smart little mechanic that I like in this. You move around the character on the screen. You've got your little plane, and you're driving around. And it's like you control most shmups on iOS. There's touchscreen, one-to-one movement of your finger. You drift around. The moment you put your finger on the screen, the crush starts shooting, and you just have to drag them around. And bam, 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 bam. You can collect power-ups, and so you'll get things like a split shot. And as you start to earn points, you can pay to upgrade your weapon. The upgrades only last for a set period of time. Mm-hmm. However, you'll be able to buy the upgrade, and it'll last for 2 hours, and then it'll run out again. So you'd have to rebuy it. So there's your free-to-play kind of element. You can obviously pay real money if you want to, but I haven't paid anything for it yet, and I don't doubt any of us have. And you totally don't need to, like Crossy Road. You can collect characters, like in Crossy Road, loads like 47 to unlock to begin with, and other ones you can buy later. But with the shooting, there's an alternative fire, which is really smart. So you just put your finger on the screen, you start firing, you move around. If you remove your finger from the screen, a shot starts charging, goes boo, and then when you put your finger back on the screen, it launches a bunch of missiles. Say maybe like two or three. Depending on how long you leave your finger off the screen, depends on how much the shot charges and how many missiles, how powerful they are when they come flying out. But the moment you take your finger off the screen, you stop moving. So you make yourself vulnerable. So it's this lovely little risk-reward mechanic of trying to find the right time to go and stop and charge quickly, quickly go, before you get hit by something on the screen. That's really cool, and we've played a bunch of shmups, and usually they try and do a double tap thing for the special power, and it never quite works. And I was like, this is a brilliant idea. This is such an elegant solution to that problem.
And that's because, as I say, I think they understand how they can take old-school mechanics and make them work in a more casual, modern sort of an atmosphere, right? Like, they're making a game that you can play with one finger, whereas people like Cave, who make really, really great games and have done very well on mobile, are sort of trying to jam an arcade game into a mobile phone rather than trying to make a mobile game that is inspired by the arcades. Yeah. Which I think is absolutely fantastic. I tell you what, though, here's my big criticism, right?
Go on.
The main bullet shot that comes towards you is a light yellow colour. The coins you have to collect are a slightly darker yellow colour.
Yeah.
And that is really frustrating. I really wish that they'd gone with like a magenta or like something completely opposite.
Puce.
Or a what?
I don't know, I just like that word. It's a colour. Puce.
Puce. Maybe they could go with a puce sort of a color. But I really wish they'd kind of gone with a color that was totally unlike anything else in the game, if you know what I mean.
Like, I know what you mean. I don't know if that's deliberate and they're trying to, you know, it forces you to be a bit careful, maybe. More careful than you usually would be. But I know what you mean. It is trickier. It makes it a little bit harder. But I think it's charming. It works really well. There's a whole bunch of weird enemies that you're fighting against. The art is the similar style to the Crossy Road. And it just plays really well. It's probably, I'd argue, more intense than Crossy Road. You have to pay more attention on a second, you know, millisecond to millisecond basis. You can't really just look away like you can with Crossy Road and stop for a second or two. Yeah. You have to be always on. But I think it's cracking, and it gets what gets, like you say, what mobile gaming is about. So a round thumbs up. Go and read Harry's proper review. It's got the gold on Pocket Gamer. It's called Shooty Skies. It's out on iOS and Android right now. And seriously, it's worth a look, guys. It's really good. Which brings us to Need for Speed No Limits. Harry, does this game have no limits?
No, it has quite sizable limits. But not in a bad way, necessarily. I mean, we were talking about how... this game that we were just talking about that I've literally already forgotten the name of.
Shooty Skies.
How that transferred an action shooter game onto touchscreen very, 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 very well. And it did do it very, 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 very well. Need for Speed is a racing game, so obviously it's more complex. And it actually manages to make an interesting sort of, I mean, I guess... from my perspective, anyway, boringly gritty, super-powered car racing thing. It's fine. It's like, I think, I can't remember what I gave it. I've reviewed it. It was a 7 or an 8. Actual racing is really, really good. And, like, it's very much in the arcade, drift sideways around corners and then make the blue lights on the back of your car go whoosh and then zoom away. And that's cool. That's what people are into nowadays, maybe. I don't know. I don't listen to people. But it's got a free-to-play system, which is... some people don't like these free-to-play systems. And I can understand why, because I just really want to drive the fastest cars as soon as I can. But you're not allowed to do that unless you want to pay up loads of money. Or then just grindy, grindy, grind forever. And then about 3 hours in, I got to... It wasn't quite a paywall. It was more, I don't really know what I can do now wall. And I had to sort of go looking around for stuff I could spend currency that I already had on so that I could keep playing the game. Which is a bit annoying. But I mean... It's certainly not the worst implementation of free-to-play that I've ever seen, and at no point did I want to stop playing because of the free-to-play.
I played at the beginning, and I found the levels to be very, very short.
Yeah.
A lot of the early levels very, very short, and I spent more time in menus than anything else.
Yeah, they're all pretty short. But, I mean, it's a mobile game. You don't want to... Like, how long do you poo for? Please don't answer that. But yeah, I mean, it's not like the Need for Speed game before this. Need for Speed Most Wanted was better. So if you want to buy a Need for Speed game on your mobile phone, then buy that. But obviously EA are probably going to take it off quite soon because, well, EA, innit.
Well, I've just changed my... Well, I have to raise an issue with the game because it's... You might have heard that notification beep.
Oh, is that Need for Speed?
That was Need for Speed No Limits saying, crews are saying you've wussed out. Come back, gain 5,000 cash and prove them wrong.
That is so vile.
Like, the game is taunting
me. Like, I mean, at least the women aren't hypersexualized. That's one thing the game has going for it. There are no giant boobs just swinging around in your face for no apparent reason. But it is very, dude, your ride is sick. Let's go on the corners and do some... I have no idea, but...
Let's go and waste taxpayers' money!
Yeah, this is another thing that annoyed me about the game. So there's police in the game, and they're driving along. And most of the races take place on, like, just normal roads, so there's traffic and stuff as well. And there's... the police are, like, chasing you. But, like, there are... The people behind the races have built ramps on the road. What the police would do in a situation like that would be stop and take down the ramp because ramps are really dangerous. But instead they just drive over them and do cool jumps and stuff. And I'm like, that's not what the police would do. Sort it out, EA. This doesn't make any sense.
If the police were well bored, though.
Yeah, I guess. And also, like, the police cars are all faster than my cars. Like, I have real difficulty keeping up with them. I mean, you're not supposed to, but it's a bit annoying. Yeah, it's all right. If you like games that are like this game, then you'll like it.
Peter, you played it back in February.
Yeah.
That's how long ago you played this one.
Yeah, I've been playing it a little bit today as well. I think it's fine. I don't see much of the genealogy of Real Racing 3, which is apparently the team that's made it.
Yeah, it's like, Fire Monkeys, isn't it?
I don't see much of Fire Monkeys in this at all.
Well, it looks nice.
Yeah, I mean, it looks nice. It looks, I mean, it looks right on a 5C, which is
I guess it, I agree. There is none of Fire Monkeys in it because, like, the monetization is, like, on the other side of the game. Whereas in Real Racing, it's all about racing really and not breaking your car and actually knowing, you know, like, the numbers of the bits of the things that you add to your car are kind of important. It's all about tweaking. Where this is all, like, putting sexy gaskets up your bumhole and then crashing into idiots.
It's absolutely. I don't know. I think the cornering, I haven't played too much of it, but I think the cornering is a little bit sticky. It feels weird to, like, it feels like there's a bit of a delay to turn left and right. But, yeah, I'm going to give it a bit more time.
All right, fair enough. Well, you can download it for both iPhone and iPad right now. Need for Speed, no limits. It's free to play. Get it if you want it. Don't if you, like I, think that Need for Speed is the most boring of all the racing franchises.
Yeah, you're a test drive man, aren't you?
Even when Criterion took them over, who were actually good, who did the Burnout games. Mm-hmm. I still preferred Burnout.
Did you see that they've gone ahead and said that there's not going to be a Burnout HD collection?
No, I didn't hear that. That's weak.
That is weak source. Somebody asked them and their official Twitter account replied saying, no, we've gone on to bigger and better things. And it's like,
no, you haven't.
No, you haven't, because Burnout 3 is the best game.
I've played Need for Speed. You have not gone on to better things.
Yeah.
Burnout 3 was the best.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Oh, well. Sigh. I've also seen that they've canned that Roll Cage 2 project as well.
No, they haven't.
Have they? I thought they put the lid on it.
The grip.
Grip, yeah. Grip. I thought it died.
I don't think it's died. I think it's gone from Kickstarter, and now it's they're making it, and they're trying to get it sort of like funded through like donations through PayPal.
Oh.
Mm, yeah, okay. It
doesn't
through
sound too
pope.
Healthy.
Yeah,
the PayPal donation. PayPal. Weird.
Yeah, through the Pope. The Pope's like, oh, mate, I'm fucking love these sick dubstep beats. Ah.
He's well cool now since he's gone to America. He's come back with a backwards baseball cap, massive gold. Well, actually, probably had a massive gold chain already, didn't he?
Yeah, but you know, he still hates the gays and everyone else.
No, he doesn't. Francesco doesn't hate them.
No, he's the huggy one.
I think you'll find that it doesn't really matter if you say, oh, no, the gays, they are okay. And actually, when your entire history of your church has been about the persecution of minorities, homosexuals, women, the poor. Congratulations, Catholics. Your Pope said one nice thing once. Also, let's not get started on child abuse because I have to go and be on the radio.
Yes. You're going to be playing in your band on the radio. What's the name of your band again,
My
Harry?
Band is called Less Deceived.
And you're going to go and play on radio. Which radio station?
Radio Humberside.
Radio Humberside. All right. Do they have an online thing that I can listen to?
Yeah, it'll be on. It goes on the radio at 8 o'clock on Saturday, and it'll be podcastable after that.
8 o'clock, Saturday, podcast, Radio Humberside. You can hear it, Harry, playing live on the radio. Fantastic. That's good follow-up. All right, then. I guess this is farewell, Pia.
I guess it is, guys.
It's been real.
It has been real. The talk has been real.
Yeah. The racing has been real.
The racing has been real. What else? There's been Real Player. The early noughties media centre.
Well, you've had a good run. You had a good innings, and now it's time to take you out behind the shed with the shotgun.
Yeah. I'm currently the longest running podcast member. James, I think you've got about 5 more shows to do, and then you'll be the longest running podcast member.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I've already been holding the title of most handsome podcast.
Most handsome.
Obviously.
So I'm fine with
that. And I've been most shouty, so.
Yeah, Harry's been best podcast member.
Shush you.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, not.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is weird. Like,
Usually we try and be slick at the end of these things, but
I don't care. No.
Not today.
I feel like Thursday recordings, and obviously they go out on a Friday, but we record on a Thursday. I feel like Thursdays was like the best day. Like Thursday evenings, hanging out with my best pals.
Yeah, this is the chance in the week where we actually get to talk to one another properly rather than just through Skype or Slack or something like that.
Yeah.
Because we're all operating in different places, as you know.
So yeah. I feel like, yeah, it's been really awesome and we've done really good things and, like, we've, you know, God, like, you know, in the time, you know, James, that you took it over from Wee Willie Wilson, you know, we got featured on Apple and like Stitcher pushed us as well. And like, we've had like really cool things. We've done awesome things. We've gone to different places and like more listeners than ever and all that good stuff. And yeah, I really feel like this has been, yeah, like the best that the podcast has been ever really. And it's been awesome hanging out with you guys. So, and you know, everybody who's listening is, yeah, has been supporting us and stuff. It's been really awesome. So I'm going to miss this. This is going to be the thing that I really miss.
And with that, James Rudy is saying now he feels bad and he's going to cry. Everyone's crying in the chat room.
Yeah, I'm going to cry as well.
Don't worry, everybody.
I've already had a cry, so don't
worry. We shall remember all of the good times and they don't vanish. That's a lovely thing about doing stuff like this. Back in the day, maybe it was just writing, but now we have literal hours and hours of video and hours and hours of audio of these. These memories will never die, and years to come in the courtroom, they will be used as evidence against you.
I built a doll of Peter, and I'm going to make it, like, say phrases. Like, it's a full-size, life-size doll of him. And I've recorded, like, it's just going to say stuff at me every now and then from the podcast. Harry, and just have his laugh.
I've made a body pillow of both of you.
Do I have a little manga version of me? Do I have an anime version of
me? Yeah, you don't want to know what the tentacles are doing either. It's pretty sexy.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, it's been the best.
Yeah, the very best.
It's been the best.
So, time for that chapter to close, unfortunately. And obviously, myself, Harry, the whole team, and everybody in the chat room certainly wishes you the best of luck with your next endeavor, Auroch Digital. Go out there and make wicked games so that we can get them and Harry can look at them and go, give it 7 out of 10.
Right, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean,
that's the dream, baby.
It's not Clash of Clans, is it? What's the point?
And with that, we're going to say farewell. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Peter, for being with us for all of this time. And we'll see you all next week with a new member of the team. Thanks for listening, guys, and for watching. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.